Hi, I'm Henry Reinga, welcoming you back to this class about sexual intimacy and how to minister effectively in this area. Let's talk today about the social sciences. Sex therapy in the general population is a social science trained discipline and practice. And we Christians, as we're ministering or we're experiencing in our lives, we need to figure out what we make of the social sciences. There are going to be many readings in this class that would come out of a textbook, a general social sciences textbook concerning sexual experience, sexual deviation, topics such as same-sex attraction, topics such as transgender issues, topics such as pedophilia, and other subjects that the social sciences department have really got into and Christianity hasn't really dealt with very much. But as we launch into the study of social sciences, it's probably good that we look at the Christian evaluation of these and understand what can we glean and what must we be very careful about. So in this presentation, before you have all the readings to do that you'll be quizzed on, I thought it'd be good to give a little bit of background, my take on social sciences. And when I say this, I come as a minister, an academic who's looking at this over a 40-year ministry calling and where I've seen how social sciences intersect with ministry and how these two audiences interact. And I'm not saying that this is the all-in publishable evaluation of social sciences by a ministry guy. These are just some of my honest reflections on social sciences and some of my cautions as we launch into reading these different teachings about social sciences. So, the first thing is I want everyone to be aware that in many ways social science has abandoned belief in God. And it goes back to philosophy and science in the early 19th century that separated God from study and academic, the Enlightenment, we call it. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2 says, "The Spirit clearly teaches that in the latter times some will abandon the faith and following deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teaching come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron." Now, I bring that up because we are warned that not every spirit that comes and not every teaching can be trusted. In the 19th century, Immanuel Kant, a philosopher, and then we had Darwin and Marx and all of these big people in the world of philosophy. Then that developed into the world of psychology as the turn of the century. Freud and other people came into the scene. But they basically bought this premise that God is unknowable if there is a God. So we must make science apart from including God. And then social sciences is dealing with people, and we must make this social science apart from God. And we cannot go to biblical sources. We cannot see the Bible's description of humans as image bearers, but we must exclude God. And so what that leaves us is science. So it's the study of people by which we can figure out what to do for people. So that is a huge religious belief premise. So what happened is the social sciences are religious and they have a religious belief, but they believe that humans are the highest to be worshipped. Now, we use to be worshipped in the sense of a faith statement. We believe in science. We believe in what we can do, how we can articulate, how we can research it. We don't believe how the Bible describes humans and who we are. So then what occurs is that social scientists, or the sex therapists, this is the class on sexually related issues, the sex therapist becomes like the secular minister or pastor in this. So what happens then is we have the therapist, and this could be general for the social sciences, the therapist and the sex therapist, and I ask this question then, are they social science clergy? And that's a fine line, but you'll notice there are similar traits. Ministers get education and training. Therapists get education and training. Ministers are driven by a philosophy and ethics. We're informed at our core religious value by faith in God, faith in the Bible as His revealed word for life and everything. We have a credential process. We don't say to you, follow me, but others acknowledge that we have a calling, that we have, and there's a process by which we are trained. A therapist has that, and a therapist has a very extensive academic and enlightenment understanding of where they got to be there. And their credential reflects that. And in ministry, we have credentials for various roles, going all the way up from just a committed minister to a minister of the word that has 4 years or a bachelor degree. In the whole world of ministry, since really the Middle Ages, the ministers had lots of education in Latin and Greek and then philosophy and ethics and all of that in Bible. I went to 4 years of college, have a philosophy degree, then went on to Calvin Seminary for a theological MDiv. But what Christian Leaders Institute and College and Alliance is doing is we're focusing on not just the professional minister, but also the part-time or even the volunteer minister, giving them the training and the credentialing appropriate for their specific calling. Whereas in the social sciences area, they wouldn't do stuff like that. They would just like, you are a therapist, you have this amount of training, you go through your board exams and all of that types of things. So, I am comparing the two. There is a professional clergy, there is a professional therapist organization, and that's the affiliated. We see in the world of ministry, there's denominations. Even here at Christian Leaders Alliance, there's an affiliation. Now, I'm bringing up the parallel that in some ways, the social scientists or sex therapists, they want to address human problems. We want to address human problems. They want to solve human problems and make people more happy. We want to solve human problems and make people more connected to Jesus Christ, where happiness and joy spring out of that relationship. We want the Bible to direct people's lives. So in some ways, this is a parallel. And as we read all about the social sciences, you'll notice many times that the social scientists will take on, they'll talk almost as if they're into ministry, they're into, solving problems. I want to go back to this question, is what are the religious beliefs of social sciences in this area? And what I've noticed is that what essentially happens when it comes to faith, what they believe, and what they specifically believe about Christianity, this area tends to eliminate, compartmentalize, or lessen the role of God in people's quest to solve their perceived problems, especially in the area of sexual intimacy. belief in their scholarship based on their study and the study of others in the hierarchy of the social sciences field. To use sort of plain language, they have their own denominations. Many times in the social sciences, these denominations fight against each other. If I were to say, and I'll bring this up later, the main denominations of the social sciences are the modernists. Those are the people who, you know, believe more in the modern philosophy, in the Freudian world. And then there's the postmodern, and that's the people who believe in like queer theory, where everything is fluid and everything is very postmodern, where the premises of reason and so forth are not going the same direction. So again, we have different denominations. There's huge disagreements in the social sciences denominations, and I use that in quotes, on how to bring healing and wholeness to people. By the way, the word therapy is a word that comes out of the Greek, healing or healer. So social sciences is trying to construct, the word construct is a postmodern word, by the way, like you construct your identity, whereas in the modern world, things are more fixed. They're what you are in your hardwired nature. Again, these are all big disagreements that are in these two worlds. Is there such thing as a Christian therapist? Depends. One, are they Christians who appreciate and factor in the study of fallen humans and the discovered techniques to help someone become a whole child of God? Do they see the role of God in the involvement in people's lives? Or do they eliminate or bifurcate the role of God? Do they make social sciences the new religion of the modern and postmodern age? So we link in this class to a Christian sex therapist who is in that first category, and we'll see the beauty of God's creation and techniques that have been discovered through scientific inquiry, and I am all for that. And as a minister, let's embrace every truth that God reveals in creation. And we'll talk about the criteria for seeing that in a little bit here. But there are also many social science therapists who basically, if you have your personal belief, that's for you, but basically they will come from the premise that God is not involved. They are the healers. They are the ones that have these techniques, and they've studied long and hard to share these techniques with you. So, I want to be very clear, though, that ministry science, and that's what we talk about here at Christian Leaders Institute and Alliance and College, respect social sciences that include a religious belief that welcomes God. And I love this passage from Proverbs 2, verse 3 through 7. And if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look at it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield for those who walk is blameless. If I could envision a social sciences, a Christian discipline of social sciences, this would be like one of the verses that I would pick. You know, dealing with how to be upright and how to get wisdom. But it's like that search, that curious search for who God has made image bearers to be and how his word connects to being an image bearer that glorifies God, and that in the area of sexual intimacy, that it aligns with how we were created for intimacy and how we glorify God with our sexual person. So that our sexual being glorifies the Creator. In that passage in Proverbs, just has that sort of inquiry. If you cry out for insight, it's not enlightenment without God. It's insights that God gives through His Holy Spirit, and God gives, even in science, what a beautiful thing. So, what are the cautions as we are about to go into a readings here of, it's a collective commons reading of issues related to sex in the social sciences, in therapy, and so forth. So we're going to get into these subjects, and social sciences makes many of their generalizations apart from the revelation of the Bible. And in some ways, another point I'm going to make about that is that's understandable. You know, people who do not know God are not going to construct a world in their narrative that honors God. So part of us cannot be offended. Part of us, with compassion, let's understand them. Let's listen. And yet, hold to our values, hold to who we are in Jesus Christ. So, let's look at this. So, and I'm going to go back to that first slide. So, what are the cautions? Well, assumption that you will be able to discover yourself, in yourself, solutions to the major life questions and problems without sincerely involving God or glorifying Him. That's 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The first assumption that social sciences makes, since there is no God to factor in here, in their methodology, they believe that you hold your treasure chest to unlock your destiny, and your destiny is all that matters. So it's like client-centered, and you are basically okay and good in yourself. In other words, there's no narrative where you have fallen into sin. And you'll see that all the way through these classes, or these readings you're going to do. You can read through, and no matter what deviation you have sexually, there's never, quote, a judgment from the social scientists, because essentially that's who you are, and you're deviating, and some of this stuff is okay to have these deviations, and other things you go to jail over, but who are we to actually solve a problem? For instance, in the area of pedophilia, it comes off in the readings like, well, there's a lot of reasons you are this way, and that's who you are. But Christianity would say, no, as an image bearer of God, you know, that is a boundary we do not cross for moral reasons. Why the book of Leviticus is so strong in some of these subjects is because it is for the best interest of you and the best interest of society that whatever Satan may do to tempt you, that is a line you don't cross. But in the social scientists, in the sex therapy types of things, these are deviations off of the number. Here's where the big number is. This is where the other number is. And you yourself unlock all these things. It is fascinating how when social sciences talks about this, they would basically assume the goodness of you, no matter who you are, and their job is to help you deal with your own perceived problems. Number two, what are the cautions? The assumption that you are safe if you are under the care of a therapist who has studied all these things and know how to help you make the best decisions. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13, this is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. What I find interesting about this is notice the comparison. The social scientists, therapists, you come and in fact, there's even in movies, you know, you come see your therapist, there's a couch, you lay down, you're safe. you know, just breathe, share with them, you know, what you're thinking, and it's a safe environment to explore who you are. And you are safe in that environment. And the therapist is that person who cares. And of course, they have studied all these things to help you make your best decisions. And they'll ask questions. They'll hold back on giving answers to help you discover it. And again, you see a world that God is not invited. The therapist is not going to say, "So what do you think God has to say about this?" That's off bounds. It's more like, "What do you think about this? Why do you think that?" Instead of asking the question, you know, who are you? What are you called to be? What do you know in your heart? You know, one of the things that my wife and I have noticed over the years of doing CLI and CLC and Christian Leaders College, and we hear the stories, and as people are focusing on themselves, apart from God, they have one answer. But when they invite God into their life, everything changes. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying here about spiritual truths and spiritual words. Number three, what are the cautions? Assumption that social sciences or that the study of problems and solutions without God at the center will truly solve things. And I find the words that they have sort of similar rings to Christian words, spiritual words. The words of the social sciences are things like problems, dysfunction, disorders. Well, we talk about sin that way. They would say there is no sin. We'd say no, Adam and Eve fell into sin and we are all broken. Happiness or wholeness, we talk about salvation and sanctification. We talk about it from an internal perspective. Therapists, we have ministers. Treating, we have ministering. Therapy sessions, small groups, and in our sessions, it's believers supporting one another. There could even be therapy sessions with a minister or with a married clergy couple. They call them sessions. Credentials, you know, and credentials are important. And you'll see a credential on someone's, you know, office door, how much academics and all of the things that they have accomplished. And again, I would have no problem with any of that. Study is good, like in the book of Proverbs there. That's why we have licensing and ordination. The key thing is the assumption that there is an alternative church, so to speak, and you can find that church through the social sciences discipline, because we cannot include God in anything. Number four, therapists or social sciences often do not stay in their lanes. And there's a great article that I have in the reading here by Dr. Anderson, who's a PhD in philosophy, and he critiques and quotes a guy named Cass. He says, this modern version of medicine and medical professionals gets it wrong, says Cass. Professionals ought to profess their devotion to the purposes and ideas they serve. Teachers should be devoted to learning, lawyers to justice, clergy to things divine, and physicians to heal the sick, loosen up, looking up to health and wholeness. Healing is the central core of medicine, Cass writes. To heal, to make whole, is the doctor's primary business. Now he's talking in the article about sexual realignment surgery for gender dysphoria. So his point is that each of us stay in our lanes. Our lane is to include God in everything. And so we are going to analyze things out there, but we see things from the perspective of God, the church, your image bearers. What's happening in the area of social sciences, they now do the work of the church, and often degrade ministers as like the lesser thing. You know, if that ministry thing works for you, Susan, I guess I can't argue with that. But let's talk about what you want. And again, a disregard of God. And thinking of like issues of healing, when we get into this whole session of in these readings, you'll see a lot of talk about gender dysphoria and other types of problems. And you'll see in the writings coming up with solutions that have nothing to do with how the Bible would read or suggest solutions might actually occur. Another caution, there are serious contradictions depending on their philosophic fault lines. And, you know, on this one too, this should really be five. I mentioned it's four again, but this one is really five. There are serious contradictions depending on their philosophic fault lines. You know, I quote this passage from 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, and no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. The philosophic fault lines. So, what a lot of people have in the whole area of social sciences debate all of these things, and then they actually use people as their guinea pigs. There's a big debate among the modernists, the postmodernists, is such things as conversion therapy or gender realignment. Let me give you some examples. So in 1979, John Hopkins, University of Baltimore, quit doing gender realignment surgery because the research showed them that it just doesn't help. It makes people more, at times, more questioning, and they can't reverse that, and there's all of these things. Well, they have stopped doing that until 2018 when the chair of that department retired, and now they're doing it again. I judge largely political pressure from the LGBT community. But there is no question in these debates, there is serious questioning on what to do. And now we have even more debates, you know, now in women's sports, you're seeing, they call them cisgender women, that are born as a female, sex as a female, in the female sex gender at birth, who are spend their life competing, and then a man who then, because social sciences has deemed that it's okay for him to self-identify as a female, can now participate in women's sports even though their biological makeup is a male. And somehow the social sciences discipline has that ability to shape somebody's understanding of male and female, of course, disregarding completely what the Bible says. God created them male and female. He made them. So again, these are all, you know, really issues. And the question comes down to is this Satan masquerading as an angel of light? You know, even in the conversion therapy, now it's clear, and you'll see that in the readings, that, quote, conversion therapy does not work to get someone who's same-sex attracted to someone who would be heterosexually attractive, and that's talked about there, and they self-proclaim it doesn't work. Well, conversion therapy was their own take on helping someone who is same-sex become converted to heterosexual. Okay, so this isn't a Christian version of psychology here. This is their own version of trying to fix that problem when it was more considered a problem. Today, that's not considered a problem. Now, the Bible would say that that there's male and female, and that male and female are created in God's image, and that man is attracted to woman. Now, the question will come up, you know, so is the Bible judgmental of people who have same-sex attraction and all of that? No, the Bible acknowledges that things will be broken. The Bible says, here is the way God made it. The Bible acknowledges that there are a lot of reasons why things go broke. And we would acknowledge, too, that people come to their experience of things a certain way. But we would say God's in the mix in your journey and in your healing journey. And if someone is same-sex and wants to explore that, we will pray that they will make that step and look seriously at the Bible's revelation of who they were made to be. And we believe that God can instantly or over time heal someone. It might be a discipleship journey that takes a while or a long time, or maybe they are with the Lord someday and they're healed in heaven. But to us, it's about inviting God in the whole process. Christians, as ministers, we don't judge. If someone comes to us and they have same-sex attraction, the first thing we do is, okay, we're going to have to convert you away from that. No, our thing is to listen. Our thing is to pray. Our thing is to invite them into the church, to invite them to hear the gospel. God and them have a journey together. Now, I've seen that in ministry. I've seen it powerfully illustrated again and again, where God works with someone on his schedule in his way. My goal is to minister. My goal is to point them to Jesus Christ. Here's another caution, influenced by groupthink or politics. This is an interesting passage right here from 2 Timothy chapter 4, 1 through 5. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. But keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your office. Another thing that I wonder about in this whole concept of social sciences and the social science discipline is it's so politically motivated. Like, to say, God made man and woman. The ideal is that every man born a man would be a man, and every female born a female would be a female. And if you talk about this and even trumpet it too much, it hits into this political headwind that it may even hurt your ministry. So, our goal is to draw people to Jesus Christ. He will do the work. But in the social sciences, they don't have the same opinion. They're not drawing you in. I believe often they come off like they're telling you the way it is, and you are wrong. In fact, it's the arrogance in the 19th century by which they dismissed religion. We all know that God is dead. We all know that God is not in science. We all know that all we are is a product of random selection. So, why then, after I've said all this, do we even study social sciences? And why are we going to read all of these things coming up next? Well, let me share what I believe about that. Well, first of all, we serve people who have been influenced by the social sciences. I mean, in the media, they've seen counselors and therapists and all of that, and many of them have received good things that have happened to them through that process. Two, God created this world, and things can be discovered that glorify God. And I believe that's so true. And I have enjoyed studying philosophy and all of the secular philosophers. I've enjoyed studying psychology and all of the secular psychologists. And we learn, and there's principles. Sometimes the scientists see amazing insights into what image bearing is all about and how to love your neighbor as yourself. For instance, in the area of disabilities and all abilities concerns, some social scientists have really paved the way to love our brothers and sisters who have disabilities that they struggle with, and how to include all abilities. And there's incredible things that we can learn from each other in the social sciences. So they're important that we continue to study. Courts, politics, media. You know, you may be asked to testify at for something. Now, again, we have that whole confidentiality issues and all of those things. I don't want to get into it, but sometimes you may be called into a court of law, and the attorneys and the judge, they're going to be well versed in the social sciences lingo. I also believe that if you follow news and politics and all of that, all of these things utilize the sociology and the social sciences. And when somebody comes to talk with you, they are going to see the world, number three, in the evaluation of problems, often through the terms that the social sciences, the sex therapists, all of those things would have seen the terms through. So it's good that you're aware of these things. And then these insights that you'll discover can be awfully helpful in ministry. So you have some way to talk about it and some way to serve. And when you pray for people, to pray with how they would understand those terms. I believe there is apologetic value in leading someone to Jesus Christ. Often people come to the Lord through the experience of sexual dysfunction. Again, I just use the term sexual dysfunction because that's how they would think of it. In some ways, what using some of those terms is actually softer. To say, yeah, Susan, you have become obsessive about your masturbating sin is sort of judgmental. But if someone says, I see there's a little dysfunction in some of your masturbation practices, it's just a little softer. So in ministry, you can agree with somebody without becoming so judgmental, because we're not called to judge. It says, do not judge lest you be judged. Given, it will be given to you. Our goal as ministers is to help people find their way to God, His Word, Revelation, to even understand where we would have a little element of truth with discovering who you are. It would be who you are as an image bearer, what you're called to do and to be. So again, we are not opposed to learning what we can learn, and they can be insightful. And apologetically, it's often when somebody comes to you, if you understand and respect them and can help them see their narrative in light of God's revelation, is the Holy Spirit speaking to you in your heart? Those are powerful apologetic places to be. I also believe you study it for improved discernment skills. What we're helping people do is discern the truth. Back to that Proverbs passage, to search intently on these things for their own life. And find just plain humility. We want to humbly learn. That doesn't mean we have to agree. So as you read the next sections of their next readings, and many times these things are really troubling to read through, especially in this area of sexuality that is so fallen. And you can just see that, the Garden of Eden, when humans fell into sin, how complete that is. So you can see that when you read through it, it's dredging. It's like, going through the swamp many times. That's one way to look at it. The other way is to say, wow, our world needs Jesus Christ. Our world needs the Holy Spirit. This has given me insights to ground my faith in the biblical revelation and to share that with others. So go ahead and start reading these articles, these chapters that deal with how the social sciences would understand sexuality and sexual identity and sexual intimacy.